there, everybody. It is September 5th, 2013, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm your host, Ken Schneck. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us a line. Send an email on over to ken@thisshowisogay.com. If you have any guest suggestions, any feedback, or you just want validation, I will reply to every email. So send it on over to ken@thisshowisogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show that could. You can subscribe to our show on iTunes right there on our homepage, and you can also submit a relationship question for our relationship expert, Dr. Frankie. She will be back on in, I think, right around 2 weeks, so submit those questions. You can follow us on Twitter. If you follow us, maybe we'll start using it. I doubt it, but follow us anyway because it's validating. And of course, go to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, because we sure as heck like you. A jam-packed show for you all. It is one of our favorites of the year, so we must get started with our first two guests. Richie and Dwayne are better known as Dick and Dwayne, a husband and husband comedy team who have been entertaining audiences all over the world for decades. The duo got their start as the late night show for the Chippendales dancers in New York, doing a 1960s-style faux lounge act. Eventually, they established themselves in the performance art and alternative comedy world of New York City's Lower East Side. They've starred in their own theatrical shows. They were hired as performers writers for the long-running USA Network TV show Up All Night. They've created television pilots. They are Facebookers like you would not believe, and we're going to talk about that. Hey, Dick and Dwayne, welcome back to This Show Is So Gay.
Thanks for having us back. We've been dying to come back.
Well, the funny thing is, it is September 5th. You guys were last on the show September 5th, 2012.
It's been a year?
It's been a year.
Wow, and we've accomplished so much in a year, haven't we?
Well, that begs the question. Hey, Richie, what'd you guys do this year?
Well, before I answer that, I want to know why Dwayne is touching my dolls on the desk. Why are you touching these?
It falls down.
Okay, it's only falling down because you're playing with it.
No, it was falling down.
Okay.
I'm fixing it so it won't fall down again.
Let me pause right here for a second. I want to again remind our listeners that this is the one episode a year where I worry about getting canceled by the FCC. Yes, back to you, Richie.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just know I have these peanuts. Snoopy and Charlie Brown little dolls that I had since I was a child, and they've been on the desk for a few years now, and even the cat leaves them alone. But Dwayne, you've never touched them until just now. Why right now did you decide?
I have that effect.
Yeah, I guess you do.
It is you. It's you. It's all your fault.
Don't touch it. You just knocked it over.
I made it nice. It was tipping over.
And I want to remind you, too, that you also can submit relationship questions to Dr. Frankie, our relationship expert.
Oh, you know what? Well, I think we can answer some of his questions.
Yeah. I have so many questions. You could be the experts. And trust me, I have tons of questions for you guys. But first, Richie, how would you characterize the last year since we've been together?
Hospitals, I would say.
Okay.
Right, Dwayne?
Yeah.
I had some surgery. And now Dwayne has to have the same exact surgery because we do everything the same. I mean, for 30-whatever years, we've done everything together. So I had to have surgery to repair my torn rotator cuff, and now we find out.
Mine isn't torn, so I just figured I'll have the surgery anyway.
Okay. It's cosmetic.
Just so we can have matching slings.
Yeah. Oh, that's cute.
No, you did. He did tear it.
No, I did.
Oh, he did tear it. Okay. Well, yeah. When's that coming up? We wish you well for that.
Well, thank you. I'll be doing mine in October, and Richie's still in recovery. Yeah.
All right.
So, but before that, we're trying to get as much of our web series shot as we can before he's incapacitated.
Okay.
Or maybe we'll work that into it, actually. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
No.
We'll
see. I like that.
And we've been, what else have we been doing, Dwayne?
Well, let me remind you guys of one of your latest projects. Tell everybody about Low Hole.
That's an idea that I had for for a long time, and I've been dying to shoot, and we finally got a chance to do it. He asked you, Dwayne, so you answer.
Yeah, it's one of our short comedic porn videos that we are famous for.
Yes, you are. And there's two different versions. The one on YouTube, a little bit different than the one on, or I should say the one on XTube, a little bit different than the one on YouTube.
Yeah, XTube can show a little more.
We didn't want to get in, we'll probably still get in trouble anyway, knowing us, because we always do. But yeah, we made it cleaner on YouTube, but it's still the same story pretty much. But little backstory for you.
Please.
We shot that out in the woods near Dwayne's mother's house. And we were covered with mosquitoes, like most of the time we were shooting, which was very annoying. Those are the outtakes that you don't see where we're swatting mosquitoes off of ourselves.
Did you ever get a mosquito bite on your blank?
It's almost like we're playing match game later. I would say that I have, but my mom occasionally listens, so let's say no.
And what would Brett Summers say?
Brett would turn to Charles Nelson Reilly. Oh, my God, I miss them so much.
He'd say boobs.
They would say whoopee.
Whoopee, making whoopee. And then have a nip.
Exactly, exactly. So the woods of New Jersey filled with mosquitoes, apparently.
No, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
And it's out in like the middle of nowhere in Pennsylvania. Gotcha. That's where she lives. In addition to the mosquitoes, I guess we told his mother we were going to go out for a little while. We didn't tell her what we were doing because she actually does not appreciate our comedy. She doesn't appreciate the sex aspect of it.
Dirty stuff.
Okay.
And she hasn't even seen the dirtier stuff. She only saw us doing the Olsen twins at Caroline's where we were simulating masturbation on stage. She found that very offensive. So, okay, there's a little backstory of her. Now, we were gone for 2 hours shooting this, and you actually hear her. If you listen carefully, if you hear a car driving in the background, that's her because there's no other cars around. She was driving up and down the street looking for us and calling out our names. While we were while we had our pants at our ankles shooting this porn video, luckily she didn't see. But I don't think she would have been pleased if she'd seen what she did.
I will never be able to watch it the same way again.
I mean, it's always stimulating to have your mother yelling your name like you're a lost child in the background.
Dwayne, Richard, where are you guys?
Remain in a certain state.
She should be in the credits.
She should be.
Crazy lady in the background.
But now you have to go watch it again, Ken, and you have to listen for the car, because that's her driving around looking for us. People have told us since we first started making these that they, I don't know how true it is, but that they had never seen sexy porn comedy before. Like, they've seen porn that was inadvertently funny or comedy that was kind of sexy, but I mean, we're actually doing, you know, porn comedy.
Yeah. It's a whole genre unto itself.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love it if it expanded and other people did it, but for now.
Would we really?
No, I
would. Be the only one doing it.
Well, yeah, but I'm going to be just, yeah, but I'm trying to be nice for the radio show.
It's fun when other people do it though, because then you can change your business cards to say the premier porn comedians.
Right.
See, I'm here to help.
Marketing genius.
Yes, that's what they tell me. Well, other things, if for folks who don't know, you guys have a whole language going on there on the Facebook, and we'll talk about the Facebook in a second. For folks who don't know what the Scruff Follies are, tell them about the Scruff Follies.
Well, do I have to tell them what Scruff is?
You might have to. You know, sometimes I do get emails from listeners saying you were talking about things and we had no idea what you were talking about. So yes, for folks who don't know what Scruff is, and let's say if my mom's listening, I don't, tell us.
Yeah. It's a gay hookup app that is on your smartphone.
Basically a dating app.
Although most people I think use it for sex.
Oh, they do,
right?
It's a dating app.
Okay.
But yeah, and you use GPS to see who's nearby, and
yeah, you get a little profile on there, picture. You know, it's not very explicit about as far as what people are into, but it's a way to connect and hook up with.
But I actually get a
young
lot
of callers.
But I get more fun out of being a smartass to people on there than out of actually having sex with them. So
gotcha.
Even if they're really attractive and I'm really into them, if I see some funny angle in it, I'll go with it, and I'd post them online.
Sometimes they don't take too kindly to that, because sometimes they're very serious about it, and so they do not appreciate your snark.
No, and that's, for me, that's even better, because the ones I actually haven't really enjoyed are the ones that sort of play along with me, and I don't post those. Those aren't as fun for me. I don't want you to have fun with me. I want you to get upset or be too stupid to understand it. That's
all about
better.
Provoking as well.
Yeah.
What they are is they're short conversations in text form, correct?
Yeah. But funny you should ask, Ken, because I'm starting a separate blog. I'm not just posting them on Facebook, and it's called monkeysfollies.com.
I had no idea.
that should be up soon.
Very exciting. Well, another thing that folks who follow you all know, that they know these three letters that go together, and the three letters are DZS. For folks who do not know what a DZS is, what is a DZS?
It's something that Dwayne earns and receives on a daily basis.
Okay.
And it stands for Dorothy Zabornak Stare. If you have ever watched The Golden Girls, that is the look, the deadpan look that Bea Arthur would give to someone when they said something stupid or egotistical or just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And we're in the Urban Dictionary with that.
Dwayne, what is it like to be on the receiving end of a DZS?
It feels so good.
Does it really?
It does, yeah.
Why?
I'm not lying.
Why does it feel good?
Because I like to provoke as well. How's that?
There you go.
What? You don't purposely say these stupid things to me to get me to...
It's on the radio, so it must be true.
No, I do not believe that you purposely... No one could be that brilliant to say these things that are that stupid.
But who's saying them?
You.
Okay. And what am I? Brilliant.
There we go. Brilliant and modest. Now, Dwayne, can you give as good as you get with regards to the DZS? Have you given your own back to your partner there?
Oh, I've had my opportunities, yeah. Yeah. It's not as often.
Okay.
I don't think you give me a DZS, though, when I do something stupid. I don't think that's what you do.
What do I do?
You just kind of laugh like an idiot. You stupid.
That's my version of DZS.
There you go. That's why we do this. We interpret things differently.
Yeah.
Well, as I've mentioned, you both are prolific Facebookers in a way. See, this is very fascinating to me. Now, Richie, you are on every, I think I clocked it, you know, every 15, 16 seconds you post something. Is that about right?
Boy, I sound like a real loser, don't I?
Well, this is the interesting thing. So you post on there, and I will take credit because you saw me put it on there. You can alternate between just the most complex social commentary about what's going on in our culture, alternating with, say, a guy you saw at the gym and things hanging out of him. And it's quite remarkable. And you do it often, and you alternate back and forth. Dwayne, on the other hand, not as prolific of a Facebooker, but, and I'm sure this has not gone unnoticed, over 13,000 more followers than you have. What is that about?
What is it? Yeah, what is your total? 70,000 or something? Or
well, it started at 78, but then they started dropping for some reason.
Well, here's the thing. I don't understand it, but I sort of do understand it because we've asked people this very question, and I think it's because he's mysterious.
Gotcha.
Or I think they're all signing up to his page waiting to see if he's ever going to say anything.
And I do.
You do. In fact, you do. And I've created a little experience for you both here before we play our game that we'll get to in a second, where I would love to get your take. I had to dig back and go through.
Wow.
Well, I didn't have to dig back for your Facebook post, Richie. I just had to pull you up. But for Dwayne, I had to go back some. And I thought it'd be fun if I could get your take on the other person's Facebook posts. And I thought we could do a couple. You ready? This is very exciting.
Yes.
I've decided it's exciting. So, Dwayne, Dick has recently written about Miley Cyrus. What is your take on Miley Cyrus?
I like Miley Cyrus. I think she's great. I think she should go out there and do whatever the hell she wants to do.
How about her? Did you both see her VMA's performance? I know one of you did.
Yes, we did.
And what do you think, Dwayne?
It's a show. That's show business. You know, that's what it is.
There you go.
Shake your ass. You want to shake your ass, shake your ass.
There you go.
You want to stick up against someone's crotch, go ahead and do it.
Yeah, but you don't like that kind of music, though.
No, I don't like that kind of music. When I'm talking about music, I'm talking about Miley Cyrus. Oh. I say, you know, girl, you do what you want to do. You go out there, you do it, whatever. And you know what? The more noise you make and the more... controversy you meant, that's what sells. That's what gets you the promotion. Unfortunately, that's what show business is all about. It's more about making, you know, a spectacle of yourself and getting noticed. And, you know, we've got so many people on television who are really nobodies, but they've made asses of themselves through reality TV. And unfortunately, that's the state of our show business situation today. And unfortunately, it may not give us the opportunity to see the most wonderful artistic endeavors in people.
Ooh.
But it's what we've got. I would like to see a change, but you know, it's where we are right now. I don't have the power to make a change. If I did, I would do something about it. But I do my own little ways with our comedy.
Yeah. I would also like to point out to people that that's more than you've spoken in your first two interviews cumulatively.
It's more than he's spoken in 30 years of marriage.
I know. Look at how these prompts worked. Okay, let's do another one. Let's do another one.
Wait, no. Can wait. Yeah. Can I interject before you do the next one? Dwayne, spell endeavor.
I knew. You know what? Don't think that your little ooh when he said endeavor did not go unnoticed by our listening audience. I heard it, and so did they, Richie, and we didn't appreciate it.
Yeah. This microphone, it picks it up, and it goes out there. It's out there.
Okay, I'm sorry. You can do your next question.
Okay, so now let's switch roles for a second. Richie, I had to go back because, again, not as prolific, but on August 14th, please, I would like to get your reaction to Dwayne's post. He wrote, quote, I'm a rebel in a nylon shirt.
You wrote that? I'm a rebel in a nylon shirt.
Mom did.
Was that a song lyric? Is that a song lyric?
Do I have to tell him what it is?
No.
I just want his reaction.
Yeah, your reaction.
I have found in, and it will be 32 years in October, I've actually been saying we've been married for 32 years for the last year, and I just realized it's actually been 31 years. But I have found that he, since the day one, he has said things like that to me that I didn't know what they were, and I just thought he was kind of kooky and making up bizarre things, and then I'd find out later, oh, he's actually quoting a song, or oh, he's actually heard that somewhere, or from somewhere, pop culture.
Is that from a song, Dwayne?
Yes.
Okay.
But he would never tell me what it was, and it used to drive me insane, because we're going way back to the pre-Google days, so
yeah,
I would...
Yeah. Right. But why did I choose that particular line?
I think you actually backed this one?
Yeah.
Or you... Any line you ever said.
No,
this one. I'm a rebel in a nylon shirt.
I don't know. Was there an Anthony Weiner commercial on? I don't know. Why would you? Why? I don't know. Tell me.
Because I am.
You're a rebel. You don't wear any nylon shirts.
I have nylon shirts.
You don't have nylon shirts.
I have nylon shirts.
You don't have nylon shirts.
We go to 507 nylon shirts.
All right, let's do one more of each. So
it's not as interesting if I said I'm a rebel in a cotton shirt.
Right. No, it's not. It's not. I agree. I agree.
Yeah, but you know you stink if you wear a nylon shirt. Trust me.
Dwayne, Richie has recently written quite a bit about Syria. What's your take on Syria?
Oh.
It was either going to be Syria or the big conflict that we tried to reconcile between literally versus figuratively.
So you had to go with the Syria.
Yes, no, I went with Syria. I just wanted to know, I wanted you to know what you lost out on.
Oh, I like the other one better.
And note, Dwayne, Syria is not the woman who talks to you on your iPhone.
Yeah. All right, what's my question?
Okay, so for the next one, we got to do one more because we got to get to our game. So, Richie, I had to go back for this one. On May 5th, Dwayne wrote this. Let's get your reaction. Quote, sometimes I want to take a baseball bat to the conscience of humanity.
Ooh, that's a deep one, Dwayne. That's a deep one. What's my take on that?
What's your take on that?
Dwayne has a lot of anger and aggression, and I have to hold him back sometimes and restrain him because you don't know who's going to have a gun in today's world. So he sometimes gets into arguments with people. And when we're driving, you know, we don't have doors on the Jeep.
Okay.
So he's very like easily accessible, but if someone were to want to like, I don't know, reach out of their car and hit him with a baseball bat or something. So I kind of, I'm always trying to tell him to ease up, but he's a macho guy.
He's a macho guy. And I will tell you, the one you missed out on, the one I didn't quote for you, but I'll just let you know, is on May 18th when he wrote, I am one of 16 Vestal Virgins who are leaving for the coast.
Who wrote that? You did?
Yes.
Work it out later. All right, are you boys ready for our game?
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
I have no idea. That's why I gave you the other one. So okay. We're going to play our game, and this is where I have to pause for a second because I have to tell you, I am mortified to say this on the air, but I'm saying it on the air, and I'm saying it to you both. I owe you guys magnets because you guys won magnets the last time you were on the show, and I've not yet sent them to you, and they're sitting in an envelope that doesn't have a stamp on it. So you could add to that tally, but I swear to God, if you win any tonight, I will add them to the other ones, and I will send them all in the next week and a half.
don't you think it's probably because we never gave you our address?
Yeah, I would love to say that on the air, but you actually did give me your address.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to give you an out.
I appreciate that, but I'm not taking it because I'm very honest with my listening audience, except we're talking about sex and stuff. Okay, so last time when we played the newlywed game with you all, you guys, I don't know if you recall, you cleaned house, you went 6 for 6.
Yeah.
And you were the first couple on the air to do that. So I decided what we did last time was we sent Dwayne out of the room and Richie, you answered all the questions and then Dwayne came in and matched them. And right. I actually think it would be an altogether different experience if you, Richie, had to match Dwayne.
Okay.
So we're going to send you, Richie, out of the room. You can go play with Dawn.
You know I really hate this, though. I don't like missing anything.
Well, then this will be fun for all of us. And by that, I mean me and Dwayne.
All right.
Is he gone?
No, wait a minute.
No. All right, Dwayne, you ready? No pressure.
Okay.
All right, we got 6 questions for you. I will note down the answers, and we'll see how Richie does when he comes back in. Question number 1, Dwayne, I'm starting out with the raciest. And these were all questions, I need to remind my listening audience, these are all questions that were actually featured on the Newlywed Game. Question number 1, Dwayne, what is the strangest place that you and Richie have ever made whoopee?
In the parking lot of the New Brunswick Police Department.
No, you don't need to say anything else.
Yeah, please.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Question number 2. Oh, this is going to be fun. Question number 2, what is the last thing that you told Richie that wasn't 100% true?
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
What was the last thing I told Richie that was not 100% true?
Correct.
See, I pride myself on my honesty.
That's a good thing.
Okay, that his long beard looked good.
Okay. Oh, that's going to be funny in a couple questions, and I'll tell you why. Okay, question number 3. What do you think Richie's dream vacation would be? I had to make them harder this time because you guys cleaned house last time.
A week in Berlin.
Okay. I'll assume not during World War
II. That's Germany.
Okay. What, question number 4, what cartoon character are you, Dwayne, most like?
McGilla Gorilla.
Okay. He should be able to get that one, don't you think?
Better.
Okay. All right. Question number 5. If Richie won the lottery, what do you think the first thing is that he would buy?
The lottery would be the first thing he would buy.
Maybe he would upgrade to Scruff Pro. I don't know.
He's already got that. Got that covered. I'm going to be practical. I'm going to say a home.
A home. Okay. And last question, question number 6, and this is kind of funny because you could possibly duplicate an earlier answer.
Okay.
What item of clothing, although it's clothing, what item of clothing does Richie wear that you, Dwayne, just can't stand? Also, keep in mind that this game has never broken up a couple, and I would like to keep that record intact.
You're going to get me in trouble. Article of clothing that he wears that I can't stand,
yeah.
And I haven't told him? Is that part of it or not?
No, maybe he knows.
Okay, all right. Ugh.
In fact, I think it would be better for the two of you if it's something he already knows about.
Yeah, that would help the game. All right.
It would also help your marriage.
There's plenty that I wear that he hates. Now I got to think.
That's why we turn this around. I know that there's stuff that you wear that he hates. This is what we call comeuppance. And just leave that one alone. I have an alternate question 6 question if you want the alternate.
What is that?
What is Richie's shoe size? Do you definitively know it? Because apparently people did not know it there on the Newlywed Game.
Yeah, I know it.
All right. You want to do that one? Is that one easier?
Size 10.
All right. We'll go with that one because I'll give you an out because the other ones were hard.
I'm just trying to think about the clothes. You know what? There might not be anything that I can't stand.
How about anything that he wears with a long beard? We'll go with the size 10.
We better, yeah.
All right. We'll do it. We'll do it. All right. He may now exit the isolation booth.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I put the noise machine on to make sure I wouldn't hear anything. Yeah. Hey, Ken.
Yes?
I just need to ask Dwayne something.
Okay.
Honey, while I was in the bedroom,
yeah,
I discovered something, and I'd like to know, why is the fleshlight under your pillow?
Okay, so we're going to start our game.
I'm serious.
Family
Family show.
Now, I will tell you, these questions are harder than you have experienced previously, Richie.
Great.
Okay. They perhaps could result in the demise of your relationship. We're hoping that doesn't happen.
Oh.
Okay. Ready?
Be fun. Yes.
Okay, so, and I will tell people, you guys start winning magnets when you get the third question right, and you win a magnet for everyone after that. There are six questions. Away we go, Richie. And again, these are all questions from the actual Newlywed Game. Question number one, Richie, what is the strangest place that you two have ever made whoopee in?
In the car while parked in the parking lot of the New Brunswick police station.
That is the correct answer.
First thing that came to my mind.
Okay, yes. Next. Question number two. Very good. What is the last thing that Dwayne told you that wasn't 100% true?
Oh, geez. Last thing.
What do you mean the last thing? I told him I pride myself on my honesty.
So maybe it was the only thing. We'll say it's the only thing. But what was that thing?
The last, I mean, the most recent one.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been some really good ones throughout the years. Most recent thing you've lied to me about? Probably, oh, you told me I looked good at the gym.
That is not the correct answer. He said that your long beard looked good.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
All right.
I had those shorts on. It looked horrible.
You have one question, right? We have four more to go. More chances. Richie, what did Dwayne say is your dream vacation?
Berlin.
Wow, that was very good. That is the correct answer.
Yes. Why'd you tell me the beard was good, but it didn't look good?
We've moved on. We're on question four. You have two right. You have two right. You get this one right, you start to win prizes. What cartoon character, Richie, did Dwayne say that he is most like? And this should be an easy one.
McGill Gorilla.
That is the correct answer. Very good.
Yeah, we are winning the magnet.
You have added to your magnet tally. We got two more to go. If you won the lottery, Richie, what did Dwayne say would be the first thing that you would buy?
What are you looking around the room to give me a hint?
No, I'm not looking around the room.
Dwayne, I need you to put your head down, honey.
He's, like, looking around to try to point his nose towards something.
And we did establish that you do not need to purchase a Scruff Pro Edition. You already have one.
Yes, right. And I don't need to purchase a ceiling fan, because that's what you were pointing at, I think. So I don't think I want that.
Yes.
What was the question again?
The question is, if you won the lottery, Richie, what did Dwayne say would be the first thing that you would buy?
I'm thinking he probably said, like, a doll, to be funny, but I think I would... I'd buy us a house.
He said a house. That is the correct answer. Very good. Very good. The bonus round ended up being an easy one because we had to go to an alternate question because we struggled with one of the questions. So we're going.
I'm so shocked to hear that Dwayne struggled with a question. Wow.
So the alternate question, what did Dwayne say is your shoe size? Now, it might not actually be your shoe size, but what did Dwayne say is your shoe size?
10.
That is the correct answer. Very good.
Did you tell him why you know? Because we have the same shoe size.
Look at that. Oh, that was an easy one. See, the original question, which should help you guys along and contributes to marital bliss, I had asked him which article of clothing you wear, Richie, that he can't stand, and he could not come up with a single one, which is a very nice thing.
Aww. I can't even, I know there's a lot of things I wear that you can't stand.
Oh, yeah, I could give a list.
Yeah, I know.
I had suggested that it was anything that you wear with your long beard, but he said no. Hey, Richie, tell everybody where they can go to follow all the cool things that you guys are doing.
They can go to Facebook, which we are Dick and Dwayne on Facebook. You'll have the links on your site, right?
Of course.
We're being verbal right now.
We're being verbal.
DICKANDDUANE.
Yeah, but you have to say Facebook.com/.
Facebook.com/. We can search Dick and Dwayne.
And we're on YouTube. We're Dick and Dwayne there. D-I-C-K letter N-D-U-A-N-E. And Twitter, Dick and Dwayne, fully spelled out. And where else? We're on XTube, Dick and Dwayne, spelled out without any spaces. We're on Tumblr as well.
Not safe for work or... our
Tumblr is we have photos.
It's
not naughty photos.
Yeah, so.
And you could Google Dick and Dwayne rated X to find our Tumblr page.
There you go. There you go. And of course, Dawn has a page too.
She does, but I've been just very can't help us. I want her to be more famous than the Grumpy Cat. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Help me.
I think, well, certainly you've been staging as many photo shoots with Dawn, it seems like, than they have been doing with the Grumpy Cat. I think it's really, you guys need to be in those photos. I don't think that Dawn should be in her own photos. I think she needs to be propped up with you guys at all times.
I will think about that now.
Well, and I think it's really important. If you want the widest reach possible, you need to make sure that you're featuring Dawn on Dwayne's page, not yours, because he has 13,000 more followers.
Okay, let's rub it in that I have less followers.
I saw an opportunity and I took it.
Thank you.
Well, you guys know, it has been a year, it seems like just a minute ago, but I adore having you both on. You just have just the greatest energy out there, and I've said this to you before, but you put yourselves out there in such an authentic way, and obviously people connect with you, and you're hot, and I've never said that to guests before, I say it about them off the air, so you got that going on too, but I love having you guys on the show.
We have the most fun with you than anywhere else we've ever appeared.
You know, you're excellent at what you do. You make people feel at ease and then have a good time.
You know? Well, thank you. Well, thank you. It's a joint effort. It's a joint effort. I promise those magnets will be in the mail in the next week. Dick and Dwayne, an absolute treat.
And Dwayne, as soon as the magnets arrive, you're going to create the eBay ad and sell them?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, thank you again for having us on.
Thanks, boys.
Thank you. We loved it.
Yeah. There's a rustle in the bushes. There's a tremble in the trees. Hear it like a whisper.
All right, folks, and we are back. Well, changing gears entirely, the cover story on The Advocate this month is a piece called Why Won't Exxon Change? It's just a riveting piece with writing as insightful as the content is infuriating. Here to talk about that piece is the journalist herself. Antonia Yuhas is an award-winning writer and currently a fellow at the University of California, Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism. She's written for The New York Times, The Los Angeles Times, and The Nation, among others. She's the author of several books on the oil industry, including The Tyranny of Oil, The World's Most Powerful Industry and What We Must Do to Stop It, the book Black Tide, The Devastating Impact of the Gulf Oil Spill, and the book The Bush Agenda, Invading the World, One Economy at a Time. Antonia, welcome to this show, So Gay.
Thanks for having me.
So much to talk about. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
What's with you and oil? Let's start there before we even get to the piece. What is your connection to writing about oil and this journey?
Yeah, I've been writing about the oil industry for a very long time, and how I got into it was actually I was working as a legislative assistant for a U.S. member of Congress and was very frustrated with our ability to do the things that I thought we were supposed to be doing. And it didn't take me very long to identify the role of corporations hindering good policy to be the source of the trouble. And once I started looking at corporations, it didn't take long to look at the oil industry, which had built its way back up to being the most profitable industry in the world, and I would argue also the most politically dominant. And I started really just focusing in on that industry to understand its influence and how it behaves and the ramifications of having a world that's so dependent on its product.
And you've worked for a couple different congressmen.
I worked for two different members of Congress and, you know, had very good on-the-ground learning experience, let's put it that way, working on Capitol Hill that's been incredibly fruitful in my understanding of policy, but also very important in my desire not to ever work in that arena again. and to find other ways of trying to, you know, explore issues that I find important.
Is there a sense, as you were working there in D.C., that it is a complicated relationship and acknowledgement on the part of the congressman, or is it just de facto, this is the way we do business?
Certainly the members of Congress that I worked for, they weren't directly under the influence of the oil industry at all. It was more an understanding that the Congress overall and most certainly, in particular, the previous presidency are just very much under the sway of corporate money and corporate decision making, and the oil industry in many cases more powerful than any other. And I think in particular that the Bush administration was really an example of an administration during which the oil industry was really able to start legislating and stop lobbying. Mm-hmm. They had significant positions within the administration, within agencies, and great influence financially over the Congress, and I think we're still paying the price for that influence today.
Which sets the stage for your piece on Exxon, and lest our listeners wonder, why are we talking about oil? What's gay about oil? Tell everyone what is gay about oil, and in particular anti-gay about Exxon.
Yeah, Exxon is the most profitable corporation the world has ever known, and based on revenue, changes places every couple of years with Walmart and occasionally Shell as the largest corporation in the world. It's definitely one of the most powerful corporations, I would argue, in the world and views itself that way. And actually in 2001, I write this in the piece, President Bush said of Exxon, nobody tells those guys what to do.
Unbelievable.
And I think it was pretty clear from his presidency. So I guess not gay about Exxon is that it also happens to be the company that holds a very non-distinguished honor of ranking the lowest and worst of any corporation ever on HRC's corporate equality index.
And let me stop you right there, because many people would assume that index, the lowest you can go, is zero.
Well, it was until Exxon came along. And they had to open up an entirely new category, which was the negative category for Exxon. And Exxon got a negative 25, the only company to ever get a zero or below a zero. And it went all the way down to 25. And that's because Exxon not only refuses to implement non-discrimination policies, partner benefits, any LGBT policies, but it also, when it acquires companies that do have those policies, it eliminates them. And in addition, every year for almost 20 years, shareholders have brought resolutions trying to introduce non-discrimination policies, and Exxon has actively worked against those shareholder resolutions, earning it this negative 25 points.
You wrote in this piece, quote, there's certainly no meat and potatoes business reason for Exxon's refusal to budge, a fact that must be obvious to the board of directors, most of whom run companies of their own with perfect HRC ratings, but a variety of explanations suggest themselves, an innate social conservatism, arrogance, hubris, and the entitlement that comes with being one of the most powerful corporations on earth. The world runs on oil, and no one tells the king of oil what to do, no matter how damaging the king's choices. It is not an insult to your writing to say this is not the feel-good piece of the year.
That was one of the more feel-good sentences. No.
Well, now I feel bad.
However, one of the things I try and do in the piece is I think it's hopeful in many ways, because I would say the bulk of the piece is about all the many different people who are working very, very hard to get Exxon to change its ways. And to me, that's hopeful. So while Exxon, what should come across in the piece is that Exxon views itself very much above the fray on virtually all things. And this is one of them. It just doesn't care what the rest of the world is doing, and it's going to do what it wants to do. And why shouldn't it? It's made more money than any company has ever made in the history of the world. On the other hand, it often has to abide, like it or not, by the law, and those laws most often than not are imposed by people working very, very hard to rein in companies like Exxon, and they have succeeded in doing so. And that is the same case for the implementation of LGBT rights. There is an enormous network of people working very hard, and I spend, you know, a lot of the piece trying to uncover who they are, what their motivations are, what they're doing, you know, and to what effect.
And you tried to get Exxon to comment, and indeed, although they did not seem to comment directly to you, they had an emailed statement, you gotta love this. And I'm sure that you just, that smile just spread across your face as you read, quote, global zero tolerance policy applies to all forms of discrimination, including discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. Which, of course, just negates your whole piece, I would assume.
Yeah, they're so clever. Yeah, it was, you know, I actually did try very hard to interview them. I was in Dallas to do research on this piece. I tried to meet with them there. I tried to do phone interviews. I tried to change the delivery date for the piece to get an interview with them to meet their schedule. It turned out they were bluffing, and they thought that they were going to catch me by saying, oh, we'll do the interview the day after you say it needs to be turned in. And then I said, well, I'll give you another day, and I didn't do the interview. But in any case, they sent me this emailed statement, and yeah, so, you know, this is great. They don't discriminate against anybody, which is really fabulous, and they don't discriminate against anyone in the LGBT community, and they grant all sorts of wonderful benefits, but of course that isn't the case because this policy is not a part of their EEOC policy. It's just a statement that they pasted on the internet for this very purpose, and it's the same statement they send out to all reporters. The problem is, unless your non-discrimination policy is actually a part of your EEO policy, EEOC policy, it is not legally binding,
right.
And that's why. And the other piece of this that I think is most important is every company discriminates against people. It's part of what they do. They discriminate against people who are late for work. They
right.
discriminate against people who don't perform their duties appropriately. And that's why policies explicitly delineate categories for which it is not acceptable to discriminate. You're not allowed to discriminate on the basis of gender, on the basis of religious affiliation, on the basis of age, and in most cases, sexual orientation and gender identity. Because Exxon identifies those other categories, but not the latter, we know it's quite clear that they, in fact, don't have the protections that we seek. And, of course, they discriminate. So the entire statement is sort of ridiculous. But it is the statement that they also send out to their shareholders to say, look, we don't need a special policy. We already take care of it. And that's just not the truth.
Well, the beauty of your piece is that you do put a human face on this, because I think that you could read through this and read about even the physical environment of Exxon being this Death Star-like building. And you could kind of hear the drum beats in the background as you even approach it. But then you do introduce us to folks like Tom Allen and to a board of directors that for a couple seconds there, you thought, all right, here comes Aaron Brockovich and everything's going to change. And so there is a really great access point. How did writing this piece change you?
Well, you know, what was really wonderful for me was to get to sit down with Tom Allen, and I also had an interview that needed to be anonymous.
Yeah.
I was a former employee of XPO, another company that Exxon bought and eliminated the policies that it had. Because Exxon employees, just really as a rule, don't ever talk to the press. And Exxon maintains a very strong and strict hold over its current and former employees that they do not talk to the press. Exxon watches the press like a hawk.
Yeah.
And it's been said that they're quite, they take retribution against those employees who do speak with the press. So to actually get to sit down with two former employees and hear what it was like on the inside was very telling, but also just to hear, you know, for Tom Allen, a retired lifelong employee of Mobil and then Exxon, who had struggled while at Mobil, a very difficult process for himself of coming out, of dealing with the HIV/AIDS epidemic, and finally saying, I'm going to force this company to recognize who I am,
mm-hmm.
and succeeding, to then have that company bought by Exxon and to have all that work that he had done erased and then really have himself thrown back into the closet was shocking story to hear, in the modern era. But that he is now willing to tell his story is also telling as well. He's ready to put a face to this story and to really deal with, whatever potential retribution Efron might try to exact, although he says, he's retired. He's gonna take it on. I thought was very, very brave and emotional for me to hear his tale and the honesty with which he tells it and the passion with which he tells it.
It really is just, I'm still sitting here thinking, and we've talked about this so much over the past 5 years of the show, of it's one thing if you're living in this world of social conservatism and you are just trying to maintain your status quo. It is an altogether different thing, as Exxon is executing, to roll back achievements already made. It just, that's a whole different level of effort that you need to put into it, and quite the much more bold statement.
It is, and also that it continued. So the purchase of Mobil happened in 1999. The purchase of XTO Energy happened in 2010.
Jeez.
It was, an entirely new CEO, an entirely new era. And when they bought XTO, this is what I opened up the piece with, and I frankly found this part shocking as well. XTO Energy was an energy company based in Texas and Fort Worth that had been giving $10,000 a year to the local AIDS center, mm-hmm. and the only advocacy center in the Fort Worth area, treating thousands of people, very much dependent on that money. When Exxon bought XTO, not only did they eliminate the non-discrimination policy, but they stopped giving that money to the AIDS center, and just cut them off. And for the local employees of the AIDS center, they were they were shocked. They thought there was some sort of, it was some sort of a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And then they figured out, no, it's Exxon. They just don't want to give us money. And that type of change also just seems so almost attack oriented. Not just we're going to stick to our policy and we don't want to change our policy, but we're going to, actively, end good policies that were in place before. It's unique, and as far as I could tell, it's never happened with any other company.
Unbelievable. Either. Unbelievable. Well, let's take this full circle around and just take one more step back and talk about oil. In the intro to Black Tide, you wrote this, quote, "The first time I held BP's oil in my hands, I was standing on a beach on Dauphin Island, Alabama. The oil had mixed with sand on its long journey from deep below the seafloor to form thick, brown, gooey patties that covered the beach for as far as the eye could see. A warning immediately came to mind, uttered long ago by Carlos Andres Perez, the oil minister and then president of Venezuela and a father of the modern oil industry. Oil is the devil's excrement. Unless both the oil and those who crave it can be tamed, hell will surely once again come not only to the Gulf, but also to the many other places where oil lies just beneath the Earth's surface." Antonia, I give you the platform. You have our listeners. What are we, the common man, not doing to address this stronghold of oil that we should be doing?
Yeah, I think there's two pieces. One is, we're junkies and we have to get off their product. And that's something that we've talked about as a nation for a long time, and we are actually starting to make progress on. So this is a positive story. We're using less oil and less gasoline than we have for many, many years. We're conserving more and we're consuming less, and that's really good. We just have to more aggressively force our policymakers to put in place policies that make it easier for many, 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 many more of us to not use oil. And one of the best things we can do is encourage public transportation in many, many, many forms. That also means breaking the stranglehold that the industry has over policymakers. And that's one of the reasons why I end the piece by looking at the fact that even though the Obama administration is certainly not an oil administration in any way, the way the Bush administration was, it still finds itself, I think, very beholden to this industry in a way that it probably wouldn't like to be.
Mm-hmm.
And Rex Tillerson, the CEO of Exxon, has visited the White House at least 13 times since 2009. He's certainly getting his way on policies that he likes. And that means that what we have to do is say to our policymakers, there are other voices that are far more important than the voice of this industry, and we're going to hold you accountable if you don't implement policies that support our shifting course and moving away from the power of the oil industry. And each time what Rex Tillerson actually said, what the CEO of Exxon said, was, you know, if you want us to implement non-discrimination policies, then pass a law and force us to do it. And that's something we can do and, force our policymakers to do. So it's both getting off their product and showing our policymakers that we expect them to do the same, to help us do the same.
There you go. What's next up for you?
I am getting ready to do more writing on oil, and this time looking at the effect of oil interests in the war in Afghanistan, and not just the war in Iraq. So that's the next place for me to take on.
And where can everyone go to follow the cool things that you're doing?
I'm on Twitter, and that's just my name, Antonia Juhas at Twitter, and that's AntoniaJuhasZ, and that's also my website, AntoniaJuhas.com.
Perfect. Well, the name of the piece is Why Won't Exxon Change? It is available on newsstands now, the cover story of The Advocate, with quite the striking image. You can't miss it. Also available online. Antonia, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Daddy's in the hallway hanging pictures on the wall. Mama's in the kitchen making casseroles for all. My brother came home yesterday from somewhere far away. He doesn't look like I remember as he stares off into space. He must have seen some ugly things out there he just can't seem to say. Oh, God bless this mess. God bless this mess. God bless.
All right, folks, we're pretty much out of time, but there were a couple LGBT news stories that I wanted to sneak in under the wire, and I know we don't have much time left. A lot of you have written me emails this week, which I so appreciate, asking, hey, what's going on in Cleveland? If you did not hear, a gay man was assaulted by a large group of men just this past Sunday. Police are calling it a hate crime. Jared Fox was walking to Cocktails, a gay bar in Cleveland. I will tell you, Cocktails is maybe a 3-minute walk from where I live right here in Cleveland. He was walking there near midnight on Saturday when 20 men surrounded him and began to shout anti-gay epithets. He was beaten. It was terrible. I think he suffered a fractured eardrum and bruising and just terrible, terrible. The group stole his cell phone, forcing Fox to call for help at the bar. He was bruised, suffered hearing loss. He said the men knew he was gay because they recognized his destination. In addition to his call, 3 additional calls were made that night to report disturbances around Cocktails. Obviously, here in Cleveland, extraordinarily upsetting and depressing, certainly for me, as a place that I've now moved to. Although, as we know from having Sharon Staple on the show, there is no place that is immune to anti-gay violence, and we all have to be actively anti-violent and do what we can. And certainly seeing my new community coalesce together and respond to this and support Jared Fox and see what we can do to make our community safer. Right now, I think the focus is, from what I'm seeing, particularly on social media, is finding these 20 youth, because they have not been captured. They have not been identified. So a lot of what's going around right now are video surveillance shots, and let's find out who they are. But certainly support Jared Fox, and what an unbelievable story. And yeah, of course, you can read, there was another story that happened in Denver, and these things affect you, and we need to coalesce around them and make our communities safer. So let's do that. There was another story that just still, and I think in speaking with Antonia Juhas and talking about companies and legislatures that actively go out of their way to fight against progress as being an altogether different things, in San Antonio, a proposed non-discrimination ordinance that is similar to others already adopted in other cities in Texas and around the U.S. is stirring opposition among top Republicans and conservatives. The San Antonio City Council today, on Thursday, they are scheduled to vote on adding discrimination protections for sexual orientation and gender identity. The Human Rights Campaign says nearly 180 cities nationwide have adopted similar protections. And here's the kicker. But Republicans, including U.S. Senator Ted Cruz, have met the proposal with disapproval. They say the ordinance could wind up discriminating against a person's religious beliefs. it would only wind up discriminating against a person's religious beliefs if that individual is discriminating against someone for their sexual orientation and gender identity. I don't think you get a pass for that because of your religious beliefs. It's just ridiculous. There's so many LGBT stories out there this week, but this one really kind of stuck with me as just, this is a town, it's not a town, San Antonio's a major city that's trying to create some change. And the fear-mongering that happens around this, and yeah, you can't protect them because then you'd be taking away this person's liberties. It's just false. It's not true, but it stirs people up and it stirs up disapproval, and it's ridiculous because all it's trying to do is protect people. That's all an ordinance like this is trying to do. It's not trying to discriminate against somebody else. It's trying to protect people. So just irksome. Irksome doesn't begin to describe it, but we'll go with irksome. You know, you can do something about things that are irksome, folks. You know what you can do? You can use your voice. You use your voice to make a difference. However it is that you use your voice and you know how you do it. You can host a radio show. You can write something for The Advocate. It's whatever you do best to raise up the voices of your LGBT and ally brothers and sisters, to raise up those voices that are not currently being heard. You have a piece of that puzzle, so play it on the board, okay? Get out there. Go do some incredible things. And please remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
You with the sad eyes, don't be discouraged. Oh, I realize it's hard to take courage in a world full of people. You can lose sight of it all in darkness still inside you, make you feel so small. But I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors, and that's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show your true colors. True colors are beautiful like a rainbow. Show me a smile then, don't be unhappy. Can't remember when I last saw you laughing. If this world makes you crazy, because you know I'll be there.